We're all virtually limitless.
This podcast is to provide a space for people to grow,
to rise,
and build.
This is for the people that are ready to step up and make moves,
no matter where they came from.
Welcome to the podcast.
Virtually limitless. This life we live, we get to choose. We can make excuses or make moves.
It's up to you.
Yeah, your network is your network.
So find your tribe or build it.
There's some change about to happen. I can feel it. Oh, this life we were given it. So take advantage, start living
it. I'm on a mission, new beginnings to start living.
Yeah, virtually limitless.
You are tuning in to another episode of.
This is another episode of Virtually Limitless.
Hey, you guys, this is Justine Mader, your co-host, coming back for another episode of Virtually Limitless. And I am so stoked to be bringing just an awesome human being onto the show for you guys today. I have Taylor Price in the house, you guys. And not only is she phenomenal at what she does, she's just an awesome human being. So with that, I would love to just welcome Taylor wholeheartedly to the Virtually Limitless family. Taylor, how are you today?
I am so good, Justine. Thank you for that awesome intro. I'm super excited to be here.
Oh, it's going to be so much fun, you guys. She's so easy to talk to. I love it when that happens. So Taylor, we have brought you on the show because, like I said earlier, you are wicked good at what you do. Some people may not know what it is that you do. Can you share with them a little just bit of heaven in what your life and business is like today?
Sure. Simply put, I am a content creator. So Taylor Price is my name, but you'll most likely hear me as Priceless Tay, PRICELESSTAY. I focus on Gen Z financial literacy, the stuff that I wasn't taught growing up. And so I also have a fintech startup, basically a financial planning money mapping app that is in the works. And that's all about me.
Oh, that's so exciting. So it's one of those things too, where you mentioned, I wasn't taught this. So It was like what you were lacking, you've made a business out of now because you went on the search, you went on the journey to develop yourself in those areas that are so lacking in modern school education. I was homeschooled, and even in that atmosphere, there's still things that I wish I would have learned, right? How has that journey been for you, kind of taking that pain point and creating a purpose with it?
Yeah, I think the best reveals or journeys come from something that is super painful. And so this whole finance journey wasn't actually where I began. I started in neurosurgery and figuring out that I wanted to be a neurosurgeon. And so I graduated high school at 17, then went to college, tried doing the whole med thing. Didn't work out for me. I have medical conditions myself, scoliosis. I have a spinal fusion. I have lupus. So end of the day, I was probably going to more doctor's appointments than I would be going to, you know, more surgeries at that point. And so asked my mom, what should I do? She said, why don't you try out finance? You know, it could be lucrative, could, you know, get a job opportunity. If you need to take time off, it's understandable. You can work from home as well. Unlike, you know, the medical field where you have to pretty much be there and deal and have a good health, you know, being standing, my surgery was 8 hours. Yeah. I went into college and first semester in, I realized, oh my goodness. I don't know if I'm allowed to curse on this podcast. I would have said, am I allowed to curse on this podcast?
You know, some people do. I don't, but you're all good. However you want to show up, girlfriend. Yeah. Have at it.
I was like, oh shit. I don't know anything, guys. I was learning all about companies' financials, but I had no idea about my own personal financial life. Like I had credit cards, debit cards. I was like, how do I save for retirement? And I'm learning like how to read companies' financial statements, like these large, like Walmart's company's financial statement. Like that's a pretty big jump. Like, this is weird. I have to take a step back because I'm kind of fucked up in my own life right now. If I'm trying to figure out somebody else's financials, how am I supposed to figure out myself?
Word.
And that's really kind of what this pain was, in that I realized after doing research, 6 out of 50 states in the United States require a personal finance course. I am not one of those states that requires it. It was not talked about in my household. We all are pretty much growing up, don't talk about three things, money, religion, and politics. So it's not something that, you know, was talked about. And if it was, it was always a stressful situation. It wasn't anything that was ever something like, yes, let's talk about it. And so this really like pissed me off. And I didn't realize at the point that it was the entire world that was also dealing with this too. It was only when I went on social media, I started this blog, Tap, which is now that fintech company in the works. I went on social media and went online, and that's how I could get my message to the masses. And this platform, TikTok, has really been a home run. It's been a big hit in that it's not this, it's just not just the United States that has this, what I call financial literacy epidemic. It's the entire world. It's a silent pandemic. Why? Because again, we're just not growing up being able to talk about it freely. And it's always a stressful situation. So that's kind of how everything evolved for me.
That's so incredible, Taylor. And I think the biggest thing that I took from your message here too, just even talking to you, is you were sick of the taboo and you were ready to be like, hey, I'm to done. I'm like to done. Let's cut to the chase here. And like, let's talk about this. And I think that so many people in desperation have turned to the online space. And I did World Summit with Tony Robbins and Dean Graziosi, and it was the greatest market research in my entire life because I had 600 people telling me actually what was hurting in their life or business. And people don't know where to take it. They feel all these things and then they don't know where to take it. So the fact that you turned to the online space and answered a call, like, wow, you guys, if there is something that you're feeling called to do, there's probably someone asking for help in that area. And like she said, she didn't know that she wasn't the only one. You know, we get so inside ourselves sometimes where it's like, I'm probably the only one that feels depressed about this or feeling stressed or anxious about that. If you're going through it, more than likely out of the 7 billion people that inhabit this earth, you are probably not the only one. And like she said, TikTok has been an example of her not reaching a state or a country, but global, international, you guys. And so I think it was so crucial that you talk about it, you know, especially in the financial realm, that taboo is taboo everywhere. And it's almost taboo in every circle, but we need to normalize that. We need to normalize those conversations. We need to empower those conversations because knowledge is power. And if we don't know anything, then we're powerless.
Oh
and
my so God, preach.
But that's what I'm feeling through what she's saying. It's just like, ooh, man, like, wow. And so I think the next question for me is women in finance. I've talked to Sharon Lecter. We had her on the show. You're kind of like, you know, the next gen, right? You're like, hey, I'm rising to the task. One of the biggest things she talked to me about was being okay in her own skin, knowing that she was one of the only women in the wealth industry. How has that been for you? Because it's intimidating as heck.
Being young female in finance, I'm 20 years old. By the way, I graduated with my bachelor's in 2020 with a degree in finance. At 20 years old. So I must say that. It's been scary at times. It's been rewarding at times. So give an example of how it's been scary. So when I went on social media, it was very quickly that I started to become viral and become known. It was back in February 2020 where I had a viral video come up, and I have not received so much more hate, like, get back in the kitchen. You're so young. You don't know anything. Just a lot of negative towards either me being too young in the field or me being a female in the field. And this was something to me, I had to talk to my family. I had to talk to my friends and be like, is this something that I want to pursue? Is this something that I can handle mentally? Because there's this a whole other side where you not only have to take care of, you know, the public relations side of things, but also your own mental health. And I decided that I'm much stronger than this. This is very easy for me. I've been through hell and back with my medical conditions, my scoliosis and everything along the lines. If somebody was going to receive some bullying, it would be me, somebody who can handle it. And so this kind of led fuel to the fire, and I'm going to post more. I'm going to post 3 to 5 times a day. I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing. I'm going to learn more. I'm going to graduate early, and I'm going to become successful and get ahead of the game. Unlike many other people who may have been slowed to the game, partying, drinking, doing all this stuff that, you know, at the end of the day is may or may not be benefiting a whole community. And that's really what I'm here to do, is to really empower females and women in this whole entire industry. And getting comments about I just switched majors to finance. I just, you know, I asked my husband to let me know what's going on financially is something that I'm super proud of. And
yes,
I want it to be more of that. You know, it's not just a male dominated thing. Women can stand up to the podium and they can learn, you know, we have all these opportunities now. And people like myself, people like the women who you spoke to, people like Kathy Wood, who are all here to make a difference.
Yes. Oh, that's so incredible. And so even talking to you, Taylor, like the couple of things that I want to highlight is the fact, like, number one, I resonate with your situation of wanting to go to school for neuroscience and stuff. I went for dental assisting. I can't dental assist and be at home and honor my priorities, right? So as a woman, I had a choice. Mm-hmm. I chose my priorities. Maybe they're not the same as someone else's and that's okay. But I was honest to myself, and I love that you were honest to yourself. So word to you guys, if you don't know yourself, figure out your identity first so you can choose. And then the next thing, guess what? It's another choice. How are you going to show up? What is it that you're going to do? And are you going to choose to serve, or are you going to choose to let those people shut you down? And I shared this on Daryl Stinson's show, Second Chance, a couple weeks ago. And it was really the fact that if you're not willing to be talked about, you're not ready for success, because it's going to happen, right? And you're a huge testimony of where it's like, hey, I'm 20. I got all the things, but I've got like arrows coming at me. I got people trying to take me out, like, whoo. But at the same time, if you approach the podium, approach your stage, whether it's virtual, in person, mm-hmm. regardless, like, I just want, if you can hear the power in what Taylor was saying, if you approach that knowing that the arrows are going to fly, knowing who the heck you are and what you know about the topic that you're sharing or how you're impacting, what knowledge you're bringing to the table, then your armor is already on and you're unstoppable. You're impenetrable.
But I could not agree more.
But if you go up there exposed, right, then of course, women, we're going to step down. We got to protect mm-hmm. ourselves. You know, our mental health is very important, but it's one of those things that if you can take the step back and be like, hey, I know what I am. I know what I know. And I'm going to show up anyway. That's like three layers of like steel.
Nothing virtually limitless.
Yes, yes, exactly. But it starts with a choice. And I think that the underlying message and everything that you so vulnerably shared with us through your experience, Taylor, was the fact that you made the choice. Mm-hmm. And you followed through with it. And so just to wrap that, I like to kind of go back through, because so many times we get so inspired by what it is that people are talking about. We're like, wow, how on earth do I be like Taylor? I like to come back and be like, tangibly, what can you do to be like Taylor? Make a decision. Make a conscious, intentional decision to show up and do whatever the heck it is that you're committing to do. So you're willing to come up and be the next generation finance like goddess. And like figure this stuff out, because this is something that you're passionate about and you have the knowledge for. And another thing that I would love to highlight is you're a successful college student. That's not typical in business and entrepreneurship, and that's kind of frowned upon. And I love you, because I was an honor student and I'm like not the normal high school dropout or anything like that. So I just got to say, hey girl, because I love that. And I think it needs to be normalized that there's many different ways to come into business, and regardless of what avenue. As a woman, like, how do you feel empowered to share your backstory as a woman in your business? And how has that kind of journey evolved for you?
My backstory, as in like my actual like backstory, or like
all of it, all of it. So many times people are like, well, how much do I share? What's enough? It's whatever you want. Like, how was that discernment journey? Or are you still figuring it out? Like, I would just love to know where you're at in that process, if that's a little bit more clear.
Yeah. Yeah. So a few years back, I think it was in high school, I saw this video online that changed my way in talking to people. I think it was probably after high school, my first year of college. And it was called Big Talks. I'm not sure if you've heard of it. It was a differentiation between having these small talks, you know, hey, how you doing? Good, good. And then Big Talks, hey, I'm going through the serious issue, or hey, I'm picturing and envisioning my life in this many years, and, you know, having meaningful connections and conversations. And so when I'm, you know, talking about my story, I lay it all out, because it's not only can somebody relate, but it opens up a broader conversation and having more of an open mind and making people more curious, because in school, we're really not taught curiosity or create, which stems from creativity. And when we're talking about things that are actually meaningful to our lives, it stems some sort of curiosity and some sort of let me get to know you more, or let me learn more mm-hmm. about this subject. And so it's played a pivotal part in where I am today, because I testify so much of my journey through my actual backstory. Like, my scoliosis yes. surgery has been something that's been monumental in my life. It's shaped the way who I am. Like, my scar mm-hmm. is a remembrance of how strong I am, that I can do things, and that, you know, little minor paper cuts here and there on social media aren't going to put me down. And so these all kind of maybe emotional at one point. Yes, it was extremely emotional. Sometimes mm-hmm. still emotional to this day, but it's yeah. something to remember and, you know, resonate with and really ideate and think about, because there's so many more stories that are out there, and your one story may be in alignment with somebody else's.
Absolutely. And just building that rapport with your people starts by building rapport with yourself and being able to vulnerably mm-hmm. share it, whether it's, you know, it is kind of tough sometimes, and you have to, you know, have grace with yourself on what you share, how you share it, and when you share it. But, you know, hopefully that was just an encouragement for you guys to just start, because that's when you start using your, when you start using your voice, you start developing those relationships, you start developing those conversations where you're like, wow, I can actually connect with someone in a big talk mm-hmm. and actually, like, whoa, like, that's a whole nother level to life and business as well, as you so well shared that, Taylor. I just absolutely love how you put that. Probably a complicated question, but you did phenomenal with that. So sorry about that. And these are all impromptu, guys. Like, I don't have prepared questions for Taylor. Like I told her before this, we like to do conversational style. So this is just so, so incredible. She has no prep for this. So she's just killing it. But the next question I would love to ask is for women in entrepreneurship or business, or however you want to phrase it. What would you say are, you know, two of the most important things that we can do to protect ourselves? I love Profit First, the philosophy behind Michael Witt's book and like different things like that. But finance is not my nuts and bolts and favorite thing to do. What would be two things that you would encourage me to make sure that are in place so that I'm protecting myself and my business?
It really depends on how kind of philosophical you want to get, because you can always protect with a plan. Growing up, my mom told me, and this is a Benjamin Franklin quote, a failure to plan is a plan for failure. I'll say that again for the people in the back, a failure to plan is a plan for failure. So if you don't have a plan, you're basically setting yourself up to fail. And especially being in business, if you don't have a plan, whether it be sales quotas, marketing quotas, whatever it may be, legal jargon and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. you will have a very, very hard time succeeding at whatever you're doing, especially financially. Going into like financial planning, it's something that especially young people like myself, we don't really think about. We're just in the moment, in the day, living life day by day, doing whatever.
You mentioned retirement early, and I was like, how many people are actually thinking of retirement yeah. at our age? Like, whoa. No, anyways, keep going. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. No, still like retirement as well too. When you're planning, I think that it can be one of the most beneficial, making your prophecies or dreams yeah. come true.
That's so good. That is so good. That's so tangible. You guys, if you don't have a plan, what are you doing? You know, mm-hmm. and I think there's a quote, I don't remember who says it. But you know, movement doesn't mean progress. So maybe you're making money, maybe you're doing okay, but maybe you're only just surviving and not thriving. But maybe the ultimate point is that you don't have a plan. That's really key. And I love how she put it just so plain and simple. You guys, no excuse, get your plan. If you don't have a plan, get your plan, make a plan mm-hmm. and dominate. Like, whoa. Okay. All right. She said so. Okay. I got it, Taylor. So with that being said, you know, when making a plan and encouraging people to be, you know, on board with it, I would love to know, when it comes to accountability, I'm a huge accountability advocate in my business and stuff like that. How do you hold yourself accountable to the plans that you do make, right? We're going to say that we have a plan. So we did step one. So step two is doing the darn thing. Mm-hmm. How do you hold yourself accountable as a finance individual and just as a business owner?
Smaller steps amount to a larger goal. It is extremely difficult when, for example, I want to eventually IPO a few companies one day.
Excellent.
I can't take my company right now, who turned to a blog, who then is turning to a fintech company, who will hopefully then IPO and become a public company. I can't just go from blog to IPO. There's many critical steps in between that I have to make sure that I'm accountable for to get to that larger goal. And so this is something that may or may not be taught in school. SMART goals. It's specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, timely. If you're setting those goals, for example, I want to start my business plan today. I will have it finished by next week. It's something that's realistic within my schedule. I'm going to time block this out. And it's something that, you know, is repeatable. I can iterate and develop it. My business plan is something I think that really holds to accountability.
That's so, so good. And you guys, it's that SMART acronym, right? Mm-hmm. It's not complicated, but I think the number one, like, underlying thing that she just shared is there's no elevator to success. There's no elevator to your goals. You got to take the stairs one step at a time. Mm-hmm. And every step is one step closer. So don't be discouraged, be encouraged, be empowered to take that step, whichever the next best step is for you, take it, do it. And then you'll build that momentum as you climb the staircase to become that great company that's public and doing the IPO and all that kind of great stuff, because that is a possibility, especially if you're a woman in this day and age. There's nothing that's holding us back. And I actually had this conversation and I would love your take on it too. There's the saying that behind every great man is a strong woman. And I kind of hate that saying. And here's why. I'm married and I'm in business, you know, and we're doing all of our stuff, right? But I see myself standing beside him in a battle, right? If you think of armor, and we talked about that earlier, like I see myself with a sword in hand and a shield being like, hey, I'm standing beside you. I'm not behind you. I'm beside you. Like, how does that, you know, even fighting together as women, like banding together and being like, hey, I'm supporting you. I see you. I encourage you. Like, how does that sit with you in the financial space? Because again, like we said, it's just not common for women to really flourish in that area of finance. I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, stronger together and being a part of a community is something that is extremely empowering. Doing any journey by yourself is extremely difficult. You begin to ponder and question your own thoughts. You don't have anybody to talk to. You don't have anybody to learn from. And so being in a community aspect and putting each other side by side is something that's elevating rather than, you know, regressing within your own thoughts and mind. You can talk and you can learn and be curious and be creative.
I love that. So don't put yourself in the back seat, guys. Mm-hmm. Women, men alike, you know, all of us need to step up to the plate, whatever that plate is for us in our community, in our family, in our whatever, right? There's no excuse. And Taylor's saying it right. We're allowing that mindset to hold us back. Why would we choose to do that? Why would we allow ourselves to let fear take the day? There's no good reason. There's just no good reason. So Taylor, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts on that. That was powerful. I would love to know, as we kind of get towards the end of this meeting, you know, 2020 was a stinking hard year for everybody, whether we're talking finance, whether we're talking health, everybody's just had a mind-blowing shock, I think, in the world. Like you said, global impact. How was that for you, pivoting in your business in the online space? I know like TikTok went crazy for you, but like, how has that transition been in your personal journey? Like going through that mindset curve of being like, hey, this is different, but I'm here for it. Like, hey, this isn't going to stop me, but it's going to try. Like, how was that for you, Taylor?
I think it's made me live a little bit more. Let me explain why. In science, where in biology, 10th grade, I kind of made this connection. One of the principles of being a living organism is growing and developing. And so many people stop at, like, once they leave school, they don't grow and develop. And psychologically, it's, you know, you need to grow and develop even after the fact. And so COVID has really played a huge role in my growing and developing and me living, because I'm thinking about my thoughts, I'm learning, I'm doing new things, whether it be online, whether it be offline, figuring out a new hobby. And so I think for me, it was a whole year of thinking and growing in that aspect, in my maturity and mentality, and what do I want to do, who I am. I feel like many people have learned a lot about themselves, whether, you know, they're introverts or extroverts, whether they actually like being alone. I learned that. I think I'd probably want to stay home now than actually go out and, you know, it's so crazy.
Right?
I didn't know that about myself.
So crazy.
I'm going to say this past entire year has been all about growing and developing. And that really attests to going back to science, truly living, becoming a living organism and, you know, being myself.
That's so good. And I like to say too, and forgive me again, whoever started saying this, bless you first, but we're a human being. We're active. That's an action, right? And so it's one of those things, whether you find yourself reflecting and developing more, you know, intrinsically together, you know, within yourself, mm-hmm. or, you know, it was external growth. That's phenomenal. But I love how you kind of elaborated on that, because so much of the world thinks that it has to be a certain way. And 2020 kind of proved that, no, it really doesn't. And everything we thought was secure is really not. And no day is guaranteed. So live it while you can, no regrets, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. So I love how you put that. And I'm very much a hybrid. I'm an introverted extrovert. So I love that and how you said that. Because, yeah, I love conversations. I love doing what we're doing. But if I can do it at home, do it at home.
Yes.
So I think that's super, super cool. So I would love to know... couple of the last questions here with like TikTok, someone wants to get, or on Clubhouse or any of the social media platforms, how would you encourage someone to take their message to a new platform and just get started?
You said it, just get started.
It's so that many, simple.
It is that simple. Okay. So let me tell you some things that I was going through when I starting my social media journey was difficult. I was also a person that I was so scared of putting myself out there, being online. And then I did it and I received such great feedback, also constructive criticism. And over time you will learn, you know, what's a good production. You will learn to speak into the camera and doing these kinds of things. And again, learning about yourself, because you're doing more and more and revealing more experiences, which leads to, again, this creativity and this, you know, whole intrinsic aspect of learning about yourself. But overall, putting yourself out there, being consistent as well, too, showing up, maybe not for your audience, but for yourself. If you made a commitment for yourself that you're going to start, then continue doing it. If you made a commitment to your audience that you're going to be posting 3 to 5 times a week, then you got to commit to it if you're going to commit to it. So it's just overall, there's never a better time than now. And that goes with anything. Like you said, there's a finite amount of time on this earth. We have no idea what's coming tomorrow. And it's, you know, it's not a bad avenue to get into social media and create digital real estate for yourself.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. And I love the way that you just dropped that too. Just a slight hint, social real estate. Digital real estate. You guys, that stuff is powerful. No one can take that from you. No one can take that from you. You know, you can buy all sorts of real estate in the physical world, but they can't buy your voice. They can't buy your anything. That's so powerful. Yep. And I hope that that was just an encouragement. If you've been feeling called to get on a social media platform that you're scared of, not sure about, just like, don't know, give it a shot. Give it a shot. You won't know until you get there. I was nervous about Clubhouse. I fell in love with Clubhouse. And now it's scheduled because I could spend my life on Clubhouse.
Yep.
And TikTok. And I love TikTok is more of my like fun pastime, supporting people on TikTok, doing what they love, especially small business owners that are like crafters. I don't know why I love those, but like, I love those. And so it's like, I see you, let's blow up your page, like all the buttons. And like, I don't know. It's super fun. But it's one of those things that I've also found what works for me, being a wife and mom. It works a lot better for me to be on Clubhouse, which is just audio, versus being on video on Zoom all the time, or always doing Instagram reels or different things like that. I'm finding what works for me. So I love how you encourage people just to give it a shot, because you will find what works for you eventually. Mm-hmm. You just got to figure it out. Right. So I love how you put that. That's so, so encouraging. So last question before we let you get on to the rest of your fantastic week. 2020 was crazy. What would be one suggestion, one quote, one encouraging line that you would part with our listeners today to dominate their 2021?
Organization is the key to success. Another one that my mom had always taught me growing up. Being organized in whatever section you're at within your life, whether it be just making your bed every day, whether it's having a to-do list or time blocking a plan of action, organization allows clarity of the mind, allows you to think better. It allows you to communicate easier when you're organized. I don't think there's any downside of being organized. And so 2021, I ask you to start thinking about organization, whether that be logging in notes or creating little schedules or routines or something along those lines. It has impacted my life in a very significant way. And I think it can yours too.
Oh, that's so incredible, you guys. So if you're not organized, get yourself organized starting today. That's tangible. You can do that. We believe in you. We see you. We know that you've got this, but it's going to take that choice and that commitment. Like we've had through this entire like thread of the episode today, showing up, the choice and the follow through. That's going to be the way that you make history. Whether you're a man or woman listening today, I hope you are empowered by everything that Taylor shared. She was on fire. Taylor, where can they get more of you? We'll have the links in the comments, but I want them to hear where you like to hang out.
At Priceless Tay on all social media platforms, PRICELESSTAY. My name is Taylor Price. Yes, Price is my real last name. I like to testify so I was maybe born for this.
Yes, totally. Oh, totally. She's got it all and she's rising up. She's here to fill her purpose. So with that, Taylor Price, thank you again so much for being on Virtually Limitless. You were just an incredible interview today. I'm so honored.
Thank you.
All right. Catch you later, guys.
If you learned anything from this show, make sure you leave a review and check out the description to join our community and grab some free resources and make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Virtually Limitless.